Hello, Joe.
Yeah, Tim.
Hey,
good
buddy.
Morning.
Good morning to you, sir.
Hey, I'm abandoning my septic system.
Okay.
And I'm below the sewer.
Okay.
So I'm putting ejection.
Yeah, you're putting
pump
in. Yes, that's correct.
And the direct shot to the front of the house, it would be through an old cistern, concrete cistern, which is below the front porch. And I'm wondering, is there any reason you can think of not to go just core through the two walls of the cistern and on out?
Well, I mean, you're going to, just so you know, just like with any plumbing code, I mean, I'm a licensed master plumber, and you have to support that pipe minimum every 4 feet. In other words, if that cistern is empty now, I'm just assuming it's empty.
It is.
Okay, so when you go into the cistern, somehow this pipe is going to have to be supported.
Okay.
So just keep that in mind. The only other problem that I could see would be if for some reason that cistern collapses, you know, the roof of the cistern collapses and causes the pipe to fall. When that ejection pump comes on, it's going to get really ugly.
Yeah.
And that, so I mean, I'm not a big fan of it. But, Mark, you got to...
Well, I was just going to add, maybe the thing to do with the cistern is to fill it up with
pea
gravel.
Yeah.
I mean, to support the pipe, and then it's full, and you never have to worry about it again. But they have these ways of shooting gravel now into small areas like that. That they could fill the cistern with gravel, and that way he never has to worry about it caving in.
That's a great idea, too. So are you going to... You've abandoned the cistern for sure.
Yes, the system hasn't been used for probably 30 years.
Well,
it's not a real old house. The house was built in the mid-50s, the 60s, somewhere in there.
Okay, well, can you get inside the cistern easy to measure it?
Yeah.
Okay, well, just do the math. In other words, figure out how many cubic yards of material you need. Call one of the local gravel companies and see what they charge to bring it out. And they've got, just like Mark said, they've got these special trucks. They've been around now for about 15, 18 years, because I used to use them on my jobs, where they have these conveyor belts attached. And if you know, you can actually point the thing and drop this gravel right into the lid of the cistern. You know, you want it to wheelbarrow or anything.
Okay. My immediate concern about that, there is a leak between... if the cistern does fill up with water... It does, occasionally I'll get some water coming through there into the basement, and I thought if I filled that up, then the water's still going to get into the cistern, but
I
won't have a way of pumping it out.
Well, but get this, though. You can, why don't you, do you have access to the web, internet?
Yes.
Why don't you go to my website, you know, askthebuilder.com, and read my columns on drainage, and especially the ones about the linear French drains?
Uh-huh.
Because I think that you should be capturing that water before it gets to the cistern.
I see.
And you can capture the water with a linear French drain around the outside and then divert that water to the low part of your lot, and that whole moisture issue should go away.
Okay. Does it make sense, though, to make a straight shot rather than elbow around it?
You can elbow around it, but if you're going to do that, remember, all underground lines like that, no 90-degree angles, never.
Okay.
In other words, you have to do everything with 45s or 22.5 degrees.
Okay.
You know, so don't, you know, because you just don't want a 90-degree angle underground like that. That's death on a stick.
But in the house, it's okay?
Well, yeah, we'll put 90s inside a house, but remember, you try to limit them if at all possible.
Sure.
I mean, on a branch arm, for example, for a kitchen sink, yes, I've got a 90 right there where the pipe comes out of the wall, you know, and then that branch arm might go across to a T. But and then I may have a 90 at the base of a stack, you know, where you see the thing go into the concrete floor.
Uh-huh.
But usually right above those, I mean, wherever there's a 90, usually I can get a clean-out snake pretty close to it. See what I mean?
Okay.
But, boy, outside, it's just not a good idea.
I got you. I guess with the ejection pump, it's pushing it through, too.
It is, but what will happen is once the pump, though, gets up, you should be converting to a different pipe size. I mean, in other words, if once you're up high enough to where you can then flow gravity to the sewer, I would expect you to probably have a 4-inch line in, certainly no bigger than a 6, because the ejection pump's going to grind up all the waste.
All right.
You know,
now, the one other question I had on that is because that's air, I know it's below grade. Is there any chance that that could freeze within inside there if it's not filled up with gravel? Or
I wouldn't worry about that with respect to the ejection pump, because remember, once you're at grade level up in the soil, you know you're going to be draining to the sewer, and the water that's normally pumped through that ejection system is warm. On average, you know what I'm trying to say. In other words,
Sure. Even
when you flush the toilet, what happens? The toilet water has been sitting there for maybe a couple hours or so, unless you've got a big party going on.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm trying to say? You'd be surprised. A lot of people don't realize it, but the sewer pipes that leave houses, they actually, if you were to put a temperature probe in the soil around it, it's actually kind of warm down there.
Okay.
You know, because you're not pumping out 32 degree water out through that pipe.
Right.
So I wouldn't. That's not a concern of mine.
Okay.
Yeah, Mark, go ahead.
One other thing I was just going to suggest to him, too, is to make sure, he was talking about water getting into the cistern, is to make sure all the lines coming off the gutters and that have been cut off as well. That could be where he's getting some water in there.
Oh, yeah. Mark's exactly right. I mean, you got to make sure. That's why I wanted you to read all my drainage columns, because I discuss all those issues. I'm constantly in a state of shock when I go to a lot of these newer homes that are being built here in town, and I see these splash blocks around the outside of houses. I just shake my head. It's because I've got a column on my website. Like today is a great example. Between last night and today, we've probably had over an inch of rain. And if you start doing the mathematics of how many cubic feet of water have fallen on your roof, and people who just let that water drain out alongside the foundation, you're talking 3,000-4,000 gallons of water along the outside of your foundation. And people wonder why their basements leak. That's like bringing a big BP tanker truck to your house. Those tanker trucks hold 8,000 gallons of gasoline. So imagine bringing one of those giant tanker trucks and letting the hose come out alongside your house. What do you think is going to happen? So just make sure that all your roof water is piped well away from the house.
Okay.
All right?
Very good.
Okay, Joe, thanks for calling, buddy.